Would you turn your Bible to the Hebrews chapter 10, and we will start at verse 26. The Word of God, this Bible, is absolutely wonderful. And you're thinking, yeah, you said that because you're a pastor. No, the more I get to know the Word of God, the more I realize it's a phenomenal book. It's not just book. It's our life guideline. It comforts the afflicted, and it afflicts the comfortable at the same time without wasting words like many pastors do, including me. It can come to downcast believers with the encouragement and strength to go on. But it also comes down to the heart of a backslider with the thunder and lightning to wake him up from their spiritual lethargy and slumber. One such sermon was preached in the afternoon of July 8, 1741 in Enfield, Connecticut. The preacher who preached this sermon was not doing it with a thunderous voice and a wild gesture. Actually, because of his nearly blind sight, near sight, he was holding his sermon note like this, and barely looking over his sermon, not looking at the congregation. He was reading the sermon note pretty much in monotone, a boring voice. But as the congregation listened to the sermon, they felt like the flame of the hell was licking their feet, and they were convicted by the power of the Holy Spirit. And before the sermon was over, they was raising their hand, crying out, "How can I be saved?" Those kinds of fish are jumping into the boat. And they were crying, and they are throwing themselves onto the ground and sobbing of the repentance. The title of their preaching was "The Sinners in the Hand of an Angry God." The preacher's name was Jonathan Edward, that you see here. Unbelievers and backsliders were in repentance. And this all happened during the time, the Second Great Awakening revival in America. This morning, scripture portion is pretty much the same. Hebrews chapter 10, 26 through 39. It is not the man's sermon that changes lives, but rather the power of the Holy Spirit who convicts our lives. Let's open our heart to receive. But to understand this, we need to get the outline done. This portion where we are going to study can be divided into two sections. Verse 26 through 31 is those who are comfortable in their sins. Did you get that? They are comfortable in their sins. If you are one of them, you will be afflicted by the Holy Spirit. And those who are afflicted for standing firm in faith, you are doing what is right in the sight, but you are being persecuted or you are going through trials and temptation and difficulties. That is located in verse 32 to 39. We'll start at the verse 26. Let's pray. Father, always good to be in your house. But you don't live in here. You are everywhere. Most of all, you live in the hearts of the believers of Jesus Christ. When we say yes to Jesus, you came into our heart and reside in our heart and made a temple in our hearts. Father, we rejoice. And as we sang the song, we will dance in the street that is gold when we get to heaven, and praising you and glorifying you and casting our golden crown at the glass of sea, because we are not worthy, but the worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Father, we are asking you to speak to our heart, that if we are comfortable with our sins, afflict us. if we are afflicted because we are standing firm in our faith, encourage us and reassure us that we may continually walk in you. Father, we are asking you, anoint our heart to receive your word and anoint the one who speaks. Father, we also pray for President Obama for his salvation. Whatever it takes to get his attention and that he may turn his heart to you. And more our troops are going to the overseas in the harm's way. Father, we are asking you to protect them. And you willing, you bring them back to their families, to their friends. And while they are away from their homes, Father, you willing, you speak to them, they may come to know you. And we pray for our law enforcement personnel and the firefighters who protect our lives. Father, we are asking you to be their backup to protect them. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 26 of chapter 10, please. For if we sin, I want you to underline and highlight, I don't care what you do with, I want you to note that word, willfully, after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remain a sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment and fiery indignation which will devour the adversaries. Anyone who has rejected Moses' law dies without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. Of how much worse punishment do you suppose will he be thought worthy who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, counting the blood of the covenant by which he has sanctified a common thing, and insulted the Spirit of grace? For we know him who said, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. And again, the Lord will judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hand of a living God. Stop there, please. This portion of scripture is clearly describing backsliders. There is no argument about it. However, there is some doctrine. There is a doctrine among the Protestant church denomination. They said if you walk away from God, if you are in continual sin, you lose salvation. How often? As often as you go. That is wrong, because if you notice the pronoun in verse 26, it said, note that word, the third word, for if we, is that including us? Including the author? Yes. The author did not say they as a backslider, they lost, as if they lost the salvation. He included himself. I don't care what the denominational doctrine says. Guess what? My Bible says we. That means we, not they. Do not think that just because one time you sin against God, you lose the salvation. There's a lot of people who are into Arminianism into this. That's wrong doctrine. Then someone would say that, who are these people, by the way? These people who are the saved, but they're living their lives in such a way it's almost impossible to distinguish from believers and Jesus Christ. Unbelievers. Delete that portion where I fumble around. Unbelievers and these backsliders, because their lifestyle is identical. And they enjoy dirty jokes, they use a foul language, and they go into all the places they should not go, and they don't glorify God in their lives. You probably noticed that there are the stages of backsliding. I want you to notice these things. The believer who begins to drift from the Word of God will soon start to doubt the Word of God. And that will lead him to become dull with the Word of God. They are no longer excited about the Word of God. this result in despising God's word. Are you with me on this? Start with the drifting and then doubt the word of God and dull, not interest in the word of God, and then pretty soon they could kill us about the word of God and despise the word of God. The evidence of despising is in willful sin. That means it's not the sin, you know, it's not one of those things you sin against God. It was with a purpose in their heart. They are sin against God. They know it's wrong, but they choose to sin against God. According to the tense of this Greek word, it's present. That means they're continuing with their own defiance against God. Under the Old Testament, there are no sacrifice for the willful sin. According to the law, they were told to promptly deal with the one who defiantly raised their own will over God's will by expelling him out of the community permanently. Keep your finger in the Hebrews. Go to Numbers chapter 15, please. There is that word. Because he has despised the word of the Lord, has broken his commandment, that person shall be what? Completely cut off, and his guilt shall be upon him. You know, since graciously the Lord saved my wretched soul in 1987, I got to meet many wonderful brothers and sisters whom I respect and love. And they taught me a lot of things with their lives and their encouraging word and the way they carry themselves associated with other people. I tend to observe them and listen to them and make a mental note so I can grow. But at the same time, I encounter some of the people, many Christians, believers, whom I knew and walked away. And they went through the same procedure, same step. They drift away from the Word of God. And they start to, you know, doubt the Word of God. And they are no longer interested in the Word of God. And pretty soon they despise the Word of God. Thursday night, as a part of a sermon illustration, I mentioned about a man who walked away from God, coming up with his own false doctrine and just to justify his own sin. That night, we came home watching the 10 o'clock news. Wouldn't you know, I saw him handcuffed. And the charge was murder. Did he not know the word of God to do that kind of thing? Yes, he knew. Do you know why? He was a Calvary Chapel pastor in a different state. How can it be? He got into sin. He drifted away. And he thought, I know what the Bible says. There's a doubt, and there is no interest, and he despised. He came up with there's a website he posted. It's a blog. And I read it, and it's like, what are you thinking? And when I read it, and I thought, who have bewitched you? I was quoting from the Galatians. It was mind-boggling. I don't know where you are with your sins. You might be struggling with the same sin over and over because your spirit is weak. We all struggle with the sins. If you ask God to forgive you and give you strength to overcome that sin, He will. If you repent from it. But if you are one of those who willfully and defiantly raise your spiritual fist against God's face, and you decide to continue in your sins, don't think that you'll be able to get away with it. God's patience is deep and wide, but He has limitations. You don't want to fall in the hands of angry God. Did you get that? Because God is God of righteousness. By the way, backsliding from the Lord is never a sudden thing. You don't wake up in the morning, okay, I'm going to backslide today. It doesn't work that way. It never happens overnight. It happens so ever so gradually that you don't even realize it's happening in your life. Before you realize you are far away from God, and you think that you're doing just fine, that is what sin does to us. It makes us numb. It makes us dumb. I was going to use other words, but that maybe it's not a good word. What does the Lord deal with us? How does the Lord deal with us? It kind of defines backsliders. Let's read what it says in verse 27 in chapter 10. Go back there, verse 27. But a certain fearful expectation of judgment and a fiery indignation which will devour the adversaries. Did I mention the angry God? Yes. Our God is altogether loving, altogether wonderful, and altogether merciful to us. But don't forget that He is a God of righteousness and God of holiness. And God disciplines His children when they continually willfully defiant in two ways. Number one, He takes their life. Yeah, you heard me right. He takes their life. Number two, He judges them to live out their lives with the full consequences of their sinful choices. In case some of you are thinking, nah, God's not going to take my life away because I'm sinning against God defiantly and willfully. I know what God says, but I don't care. If you're thinking that I don't care, that's a defiance. Since in case some of you are thinking that, go to the book of Acts, please. Acts chapter 5. Verse 1. But a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession. He kept back part of proceeds, his wife also being aware of it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and kept back part of the price of the land for yourself? While its remain was it not your own? And after it was sold, was it not in your own control? Why have you deceived these things in your heart? Or conceived these things in your heart? You have not lied to man, but God. Stop there. Let me explain. Ananias and Sapphira, husband and wife, decide to give money to a church. They're very nice. Before this happened, Barnabas, who was a rather rich man, he gave everything to God, to the church. And people will say, ooh and ah. So Ananias and Sapphira thought, yeah, let's do that. We're going to sell that land for, let's say, $200,000. Well, we're going to keep $100,000 for ourselves. But we'll tell the people we sold the land for $100,000 as if we are giving everything to God. There's a deception involved. And they came to the apostles, lay at the feet of the apostles, oh yeah, we sold the land for $100,000, the entire amount is here. They were not lying to the man. They were lying to God, who is the Holy Spirit. That's what's behind it. Verse 5. Then Ananias, hearing this word, fell down and breathed his last. So great fear came upon all those who heard these things. I bet they did. If this thing happened still, we should have a mortuary in the basement. Because a lot of people will drop dead on the spot. Go to 1 John chapter 5, verse 16, please. If anyone sees his brother seeing a sin who does not lead to death, note that there's a sin that leads to death, he will ask and he will give him life for those who commit sin does not lead to death. There is a sin leading to death. I do not say that he should pray about it. The Lord may not always take the people's life for their sin, but he always, hear me please, he always deal with the people's sin. It's truly a fearful thing to fall in the hands of an angry God. If we could see the spiritual realm of the defiant backslider, it would be as if he's trampling the Son of God underfoot and count the blood of this covenant by which he was sanctified unholy things. And insult the Spirit of God. How worse can it be? This is a completely opposite of what we learned from the last week. What did we learn from last week? Holding fast in the confession of our hope in Jesus Christ. Please don't think that you and I would never backslide from Lord Jesus Christ. Hear me, please. We are all capable. Can you say that with me? We are all capable. You and I, any one of us in this room, are capable to backslide if we are not aware of. Because we have this strong sinful desire within us and the enemy who tempt us outside. We are only one step away from the first backsliding stage if we don't hold fast in the Lord Jesus Christ. Be aware. Say with me, be aware. The author of this book wrote in verse 26 that there is no longer remain a sacrifice for the willful sin. Does it mean it's over? No. Remember King David, who committed the heinous sin of murder, adultery first, and then followed by murder. When he came to God with a broken heart and confessed his sin, repent from his sin, what did God do? He forgave him. Does it mean everything going honky-dory from then on? Everything is wiped away? No, he had to live with his consequences. It's better than living with the consequences of the one sin. It's better than defiant living against God. It is a wonderful thing. See that? It is a fearful thing to fall into the Lord's hand for chastening, but it is a wonderful thing to fall into the hand, His hand, for cleansing and restoration. Remember Luke chapter 15, of course, the prodigal son? Son came back and he said, Father, please forgive me. I have sinned against God, I've sinned against you. And what did the father say? Okay, you're on probation. You're going to sleep in a barn next to the cow, the one we don't like. And you're going to be on probation for the next 15 months and you're going to eat with a servant. No, he said, bring the ring, which showed authority, and bring the brand new robe. Bring the sandals. My son was lost, now he's found. He was blind, now he sees. That's what God does to you. When you come back to Him with a repentant heart, He will restore you. Let's take a look at the second group. Those who are afflicted for the standing firm in their faith. Verse 32. But recall the former days in which after you were illuminated, that means you are saved, you endured great struggle with the sufferings, partly while you were made a spectacle both by reproaches and tribulations, and partly while you became a companion of those who are so treated. For you had compassion on me in my chains, and joyfully accepted the plundering of your goods, knowing that you have a better and enduring possession for yourselves in heaven. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. For you have a need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. For yet a while, he who is coming will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe to saving of their soul. The author of this book changes sin and the audience from the potential backsliders, potential divine discipline for the backsliders, to the actual human persecution for the believers. These first century Jewish believers were being persecuted from their families, from their communities, because they are following the Lord Jesus Christ. They proclaimed their newfound faith instead of going through the ritual of Judaism. And they were naturally persecuted and expelled from the community. Unlike those backsliders who defiantly rejected their Savior, Jesus Christ, from their heart and embraced the carnal world, these Christians stood firm in spite of their material loss and physical threat, and even to the point of imprisonment. As time passed along and the persecution continued, some of these Christians were thinking, maybe just for the relief, maybe we'll have a small portion of Judaism, maybe we'll go through these religious rituals. You know, it's understandable. Can we handle, let's ask ourselves, can we handle the same kinds of persecutions? Don't be so quick to say yes here. In the church, it's easy to say, oh yeah, I'll stand up against persecution, because you are surrounded by your brothers and sisters. But what if the government come to you and arrest you because you are believers in Jesus Christ? Oh, you're thinking, oh, that will never happen in America. Surprise! You are not, if that's your mentality, you are not reading the newspaper, you are not watching the news at night. Especially Fox News, they really tell you what kind of thing happened against Christians. About a year ago, Ohio National Guard, this is Ohio, within the Bible Belt of America, Ohio National Guard were practicing a scenario. There's a group of homegrown terrorists, equal Christians, who carry guns. Oh, I thought, yeah, that would be me. Second Amendment, gun carrying, and they're born-again Christians. They named them as homegrown terrorists. And they choose to go into their homes and bind them with the handcuffs, and take them away from their home and put them in the concentration camp to re-education. Do you think it's far-fetched? It is not far-fetched. If the current administration get their ways, that will happen. So let me ask you this. What if tomorrow they come to your home and they arrest you and take away your home and give it to, you know, reduce distribution of wealth, give it to somebody. Well, matter of fact, I don't call it undocumented. I call it illegal, because they are illegal. And give it to them to live in your home. All the mortgage you paid, they get to have. All the hard-worked stuff, possession, they get to have. They get to keep your car. And your family is dispersed all over. Would you stand up for what you believe? You've been comfortable. Would you stand up for Jesus? Think about it. My brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus, let me remind you of this. Our home is not here. We just have a temporary dwelling place for now. Our true home is in heaven where Jesus lives. We have the promise of God for us in this book, the Bible, that no one can take them away as long as we choose to walk with Him. The just shall live by faith, in verse 38, comes from the Habakkuk 2:4 originally. It is also used in Romans 1 and Galatians 3. We are not just saved by the faith, but we should live by faith, not by sight. In case you wonder, what would happen to those who backslide? The Bible is very clear for the answer. If they come back to the Lord with a true, repentant heart, the Lord will forgive them and restore them back to the family of God. But if they still continue through their those who came back, they will go through the consequences. However, those who refuse to repent to their last breath, we also see the clear answer from verse 39. Go back to verse 39, please. But we are not of those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe to saving of the soul. Back to the perdition. What is the meaning of perdition? The Greek word for the perdition is apaleo, which means of destruction or waste. And how far is the destruction? How far is waste? We're not going to go there. And we can easily divide the theology and argue about all day, all night. It's waste. I have one question and one application. Where are you going with your spiritual life? Are you shrinking back to the waste life, perdition life, like a time before you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior because you are backsliding? Or are you standing firm in the Lord? You may say, I am standing firm in the Lord, but God knows your heart and you know your heart. What will happen a year from now if you continue in the road as you are? Remember the friend of mine, former Calvary Chapel pastor, now he's in handcuffs and he's sitting in a jail cell. Do you think that few years ago he thought that it would happen to him like that? No. He compromised one step and the next step and next step, and now he is going to be convicted as a murderer. And you may say, how do you know he's going to be convicted? There's way too much evidence for him. He cannot get away. And you may ask, how well do you know this guy? Well enough to know to trust him with my daughter's life. Do you think that he was close to us? When I found out, I couldn't tell you what kind of feeling was going through in my heart and my wife's heart. Go to verse 27 of chapter 6 in the book of Proverbs. If you're compromising, if you're in the willful sin, read it take it into your heart. Can a man take a fire into bosom and his clothes not be burned? Did you get that? One application. To walk by faith means to obey God's word. To obey God's word and to live for our Lord Jesus Christ daily. Daily. Moment by moment.